Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 72nd Venice Film Festival, and I'm joined today by Frederick Wiseman, who is here with his new film, In Jackson Heights. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're interested in doing it.
Well, how could I not be? How could we not want to hear more about your latest work? Well, I guess the best way to start this interview would be if you could kind of introduce the documentary and the subject of the documentary for those who might not be familiar with it.
Well, it's the 40th documentary I made in a series about contemporary life, and Jackson Heights is a neighborhood in a borough of New York called Queens. New York City has five boroughs, and one of them is Queens, and it's Jackson Heights is only about 25 minutes away from Broadway, Midtown Manhattan, but it's a multiracial, multi-ethnic community where 167 languages are spoken. There are people from every country in South America, from all over Asia and East Asia, and one street might be an Indian shopping street, another street might be a Bangladeshi shopping street. There are mosques, synagogues, churches, and so it's a bit like, not the same thing exactly, but a bit like what the Lower East Side of New York must have been at the end of the 19th century. America is a country of immigrants. Even the Indians were immigrants from the Russian steppes, or so the theory goes. And in the 19th century, in the early part of the 20th century, the immigrants were from Ireland and Italy and Central Europe and Russia, and now there are still immigrants from all over the world, but there are millions of immigrants from all over South America and all over Asia. And so the movie is about the immigrant community in Jackson Heights.
And also the way in which they're able to live with each other, and yeah, especially right. In these times.
And how they live together certainly there are antagonisms, but in relative harmony.
Yeah. And throughout the duration, a viewer is definitely getting a really big picture of the place, and it's almost like you really start to understand what it's like. But when you kind of get ready to tackle this type of project, how do you prepare yourself in the sense that how do you choose where to go film?
Well, you know, this really now, the only real preparation I did in advance was to walk around a bit. Yeah. So you get some sense of the geography of the place and what kind of businesses existed in different streets and where the community centers were or the churches or the mosques or the synagogues. And then early on, I made an effort to because I had a couple of friends that lived there, and they put me in touch with some community organizations. But I made an effort to find people who were leaders, say someone who was a leader of the Muslim community, or somebody who knew the Jewish community, or was active in an East Asian business association. And I went to them and explained what I was doing, and they helped me get introduced in their community and pointed me in certain directions. For example, I met the imam of the mosque that's shown in the film through this leader of the Muslim community who knew him, and he introduced me to him. And the fact that he introduced me meant that he vouched for me. He authenticated me. So the imam welcomed me in his mosque. And I wanted to visit a halal butcher, and similarly, I was introduced to the man that owned the butcher shop and by the right person, and so I was able to film in that mosque, in that butcher shop. And that's one aspect, one way it's done. The other way it's done, just wandering around the street, see what's going on, pop into a store, or, for example, there's a scene with some people from the state of Alabama who are Southern religious, Southern Baptist, who are on a mission to Jackson Heights to sweep the streets, make them clean. And so I saw these people with a Southern accent, heard their Southern accent, asked them what they were doing there, and we shot some of the sweeping the street. And while we were shooting them, some woman came up and said that her father was dying in the hospital, and would this group pray for him? Yeah. So I think it's a very moving sequence in the film, because you hear this group of people praying for the recovery of a man who's in the hospital dying because his daughter asked, needed the emotional support of a prayer.
Yeah. So basically, it's almost...
It's Las Vegas to some extent. At least 50% of it is Las Vegas. Yeah. You roll a dice, you take a chance, you come up with something.
Yeah. Well, that's... that. You know, so the research is almost like part of the filmmaking itself.
Well, yeah. The shooting is the research.
Exactly.
Because there's very little point in hanging out very long without having the camera and the microphone. Mm-hmm. Because something really great might be going on, and if you're there doing research, you're going to be very upset with yourself to miss it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I really do believe that the shooting is the research, and I figure it all out. I have no idea in advance what the themes or the point of view of the movie are going to be. I figure that out in the editing.
Right. And talking about editing, the meetings, the sequences, you know, you allow them to continue, whereas, like, I've seen many documentaries in which such sequences are kind of cut short or, you know, heavily edited.
Well, my sequences, even though they're long, are still heavily edited because almost all the sequences, the talk sequences you see in the film, were 3 or 4 or 5, 10 times longer. But I have to edit them down into a usable form and make them appear as if they took place the way you're watching them. And sometimes I feel very complimented if somebody says it wasn't edited, because it's highly edited. But the sequence may go on for 10 minutes, but that 10 minutes may be 30 seconds here, a minute there, 40 seconds there, but united by, unified by shot cutaways that make it appear as if it's taking place the way you're watching it when it really doesn't happen that way.
It's not as blatantly, let's say, manipulative.
No, but I mean, it's not. I think you're right to use the word blatantly, because everything in a movie is manipulative in the sense, and I'm not using manipulative in the pejorative sense, because everything represents a choice, and each choice has consequences.
But here, and another thing that I really admired in this work, as in other previous works, is that you mix those scenes, like we said, the meeting scenes, more delightful ones, like people playing music in the streets, and scenes of everyday life. So also, you have to, I guess, maintain a certain balance in your films.
And for instance, in Jackson Heights, I started off with 120 hours of material, and the film was a mere 3 hours and 10 minutes. So I used 1/40th of the material, and in order to decide what I'm going to use, I not only have to have some sense of what I think it means, but I have to determine the rhythm. And I cut Jackson Heights sort of at right angles so that if there was a talk sequence, a long talk sequence, the next sequence either had to be a pause or something lighter. So I use music after perhaps a long talk sequence. Or if a sequence is very sad, as some of them are, I might go to a series of people walking along the street or an ice cream truck or something that gives you some information visually, but there's no talk other than background noise, or there's some music which changes the mood and then takes you off somewhere else.
Great.
So that I have to be very concerned. I mean, that's one of the great... It's part of the fun of doing these movies is working out the structure, because it's a lot like writing a novel.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have now. But it was a great honor talking with you, and I really loved the film. Congratulations.
Good, thank you. Thank you for doing the interview, and I'm glad you liked the film.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, bye.
Thanks very much. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.